All right. So while most of you were praying that this goes well for me, I was praying that my teeth stay in. Really, I was. I promise you. I cut my dinner short because, yeah, my teeth were starting to slip. Really, I promise you. Okay. So anyway, good evening. My name is Alta. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I struggle with codependency and relationships. I have said to several people that I could write my testimony over probably five times over and never say the same thing. Well, saying that and doing it were two different things. Here I go. My mother and I were very active churchgoers when I was growing up. My father and my brother, not so much. I grew up in Sandy, a small town back then, Hicktown, USA. Back then, but I hear that it has grown considerably, but I haven't been back there for a long time. We had a huge spot for a garden and almost 8 acres of land for our animals, which generally consisted of cows, pigs, chickens, horses, cats, and dogs. We also had several orchard trees that included walnuts, cherries, apples. I grew up on a farm, basically. My father was a truck driver and was not home very often. But when he was home, I do remember mostly good times with my father, unless I had done something wrong that I had known I shouldn't have. Then my dad was a disciplinarian. He would tell me, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." Okay. I would not quite understand that until I had kids of my own. Then it did hurt me more than it hurt them. Yeah. My mom was diagnosed with bone cancer and blood clots when I was 5. She passed away when I was 10. I mentioned that I'm codependent, and I think I developed that. Like I said, the tears weren't supposed to start for a minute here. I think I developed that at a very early age. An example of this would be when my grandparents would visit and help with my mom, that right before they left, they would always ask me, "Do I want to come and spend the night with them?" My response would be, "No, what if mom needs me?" So putting others before myself at the sake of even my childhood to take care of my mom, to me, screams classic codependency. My mom dying was very hard. My mom dying when I was 10 was very hard on me. I was sad, as you might already imagine. After her death, I went to live with good friends of the family during the week so that I could go to school. My brother stayed at the house. He was 15. I was never very popular in school and was picked on a lot. Today, this would be called bullying. I was picked on even more after my mom died because I didn't have a mom. I did, however, play basketball in 7th and 8th grade. I loved football and still love football. Go Ducks. Yeah. My father remarried when I was 12, and we became a mixed family as my stepmother already had a son. Later, she would become pregnant and I would have another brother. We all lived in the house for about six more years after that. It was very hard to continue living in the same house after my father remarried because it felt like my stepmom was trying to take over, and I was not at all ready for that. After I turned 18, I moved out to my first apartment, but didn't do so well. Rent? What is this whole new concept called rent? And what do you mean I have to pay a bill to keep my lights on? Okay. So anyway, needless to say, that didn't work out for very long. My lights were turned out, and I was sitting in the dark. But I would eventually get a job and quickly have to learn the ropes of personal finance. One day, I decided to take a trip out to my stepmom's and dad's house and see how things were going. When I got to the house, it was empty. My stepmom had left my father with nothing, really, but the standing house. And we're lucky that was there. He was out of town and had no idea. And so for a while, I didn't even know what to do. I wasn't even sure if I should call my brother. So it took me forever to make that kind of decision. But eventually, I called my brother and told him what was going on. But actually, I think that my stepmother leaving my dad was a good thing, ultimately. Although it was hard on my dad. But I believe that she was only with my father for his money. He never would remarry ever again and passed away when my son was just a year. I stopped going to church around the age of 20. I began to drink and do drugs. Imagine that. Take God out of the equation, and what do you get? All right. It wasn't until after my son was born that I started going back to church. I was very involved, as I am here, in doing service work. When my son was 3 months, we would move to Grants Pass, and this is where I would get involved in church. It wasn't until a friend of mine invited me to Rolling Hills when we moved back from Grants Pass to Tualatin, I stopped going to church again. And it wasn't until a friend of mine would invite me to Rolling Hills that I would start again. I came on first to a Sunday service and then was invited to a Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday, and have come ever since. I am a single mother of two kids. Their father really doesn't play a role in their lives. I have a son who is now almost 19. Pray for me daily. And my daughter who just turned 11. I think I parent my kids the way my mother parented me. Mom was, for the most part, soft and gentle, and that is how I tended to be with my kids. There were things, though, that I wasn't very good at, like keeping a safe environment for my kids. My parenting skills also didn't equip me for taking care of a son who was basically a rebel. I also have a habit of smoking cigarettes and haven't stopped yet to this day. I went through both pregnancies smoking cigarettes, which is probably one of the reasons that my son smokes today. My daughter is still only 11, and we'll see if that had any effect. We have yet to see if that has any effect on her. All other drugs, though, I have quit once I became pregnant with my son, because I had a friend that said if I didn't quit that she would take my son at birth. So after she said that, I quit everything. Romans 12:1-4 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. That friend, I think, was a godsend, because I can only imagine what would happen if I would have not quit doing drugs. As it turned out, I still wasn't able to avoid someone else raising my kids because of things I've already mentioned. The state got involved in our lives. At first, it was minimal, and I just had to watch how I disciplined the kids. But after I started my first step study here, in about like week four of my first step study, my kids were taken by the state. This was a very painful time for me, but I do remember. Sorry, words started to get blurry. I couldn't see the page anymore. I do remember support from that first group of ladies in my step study. It's been almost 3 years ago that I had to sign over parental rights of my daughter to her foster mom. It was the hardest day in my life, but it was the best thing that I could have done for her. At first, when my kids were in foster care, I was devastated and cried most of the time. But my son is now an adult, technically. Technically. An adult. And I could not ask for a better foster mom for my daughter. Yes, sometimes it is still hard, but I now realize that it was the best thing that I could have ever done for her. She has way more opportunities than I could have ever given her in life. I lost my spot. Okay, yeah, she, and my daughter's foster mom tries to involve her father whenever she can, but he rarely gets involved with any of the little things that we do. Birthdays, nothing. And my son can now see his dad whenever he wants to. The last time he saw his dad was probably about a month ago. I feel like even though I haven't solely been the parent for my kids, God's word still holds true for them. And so I claim it for them. Train up Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now that I am in recovery, I feel so much better about myself. I no longer isolate in my apartment, and I found great friends and accountability partners in all you people. A lot of people tell me that they see major changes in me, but I am living it, and it's hard for me to see those changes in myself. Even at that, God is not finished with me yet, and I look forward to many more years of recovery right here at Celebrate Recovery. I really believe that Isaiah 61:1-3 has been lived out in my life. The spirit of this, and it says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to to proclaim freedoms for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord's, of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. This passage has played out in my life. About a year and a half ago, someone on staff here at church approached me. All this person said to me was, "You were the subject of a staff meeting." Okay. All right, I was the subject of a staff meeting. And that was it. And the person walked away, so I was left to ponder what on earth that meant. Maybe I said amen too many times. Maybe someone didn't like my laugh. I didn't quite know. She said, "Yeah, thanks, Kim. Love ya. Yeah, I do. No, really, I do love her." So anyway, so next week, a different person approached me and explained to me actually the reason why I was a subject of a staff meeting, and that was because the church wanted to help me fix my teeth. So I filled out Operation Blessing paperwork, and had my first dental appointment. Oh boy, yeah, yay! I can remember getting here super early that day at the church, so that people could pray for me, but I can also remember wishing that day did not come, and yeah, that I did not have to live that day. But before I knew it, I was in a dentist chair having my initial dental appointment. This was March of 2014. And I had all 8 upper teeth pulled in one day. As you can probably imagine, this is very painful. I was on a yogurt and applesauce and yogurt and applesauce diet for quite a while. Hence the weight loss. So that day I had all 8 uppers pulled, so it took about 3 months for my gums to heal. So I only had uppers lowers for a while. And learned that I could gum a bunch of food to death. Yeah. But apparently not a marshmallow on the coast in California with 3 of your friends. Yeah, I tried this and it didn't, or 4 of your friends, and it didn't work out too well. Yeah. In conclusion, let me say a huge thank you to anyone who has ever given me a ride, whether I don't drive, if you didn't know that. Now you do. I don't drive any kind of motor vehicle. I drive people crazy sometimes, but I don't drive particularly any type of motor vehicle. Anyway, so let me say a huge thank you to anyone who's ever given me a ride, whether it be down the street or across town. You don't know how much these little rides mean to me. They have given me opportunities to volunteer in places that I could have never volunteered in. And the bus only takes me so far, like up to the hospital. And if I was to walk down that little road where that car, comes about this far away from me, I could have got ran over like years ago. So thank you. You know who you are. One thing I didn't want to do tonight was start mentioning names because I was afraid I'd leave out somebody. So you know who you are. If you've given me a ride, I would think that you would know who you are. After getting my teeth done, I wanted to do a video thank you in front of the whole entire church, but I got scared and didn't know how that would look and or work out, so obviously I didn't. To the newcomer, I would say, keep coming back. We have all come through these doors. Sorry. Wow. At least once. Some of us two and three times. And I would also say get involved in service work as soon as you can. I've been involved in service work since about week three. I help with the dinner setup. I have recently started helping at Hope Stable. And I've done car washes and lead the women's codependency small group and just recently have started working in children's ministry at this church. And I look forward to family camp in July. Yes, family camp. I love it. I have fun in all of these areas of service and have met people, like I said, that I would have never met before. And if it hadn't have been for the invitation of my friend, that first invitation to come to celebrate recovery, I would probably still be isolating in my apartment like I used to do. Before I close, let me say that I hope that something I have said tonight has touched someone somehow, some way. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great experience here tonight.